The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. Let's begin with this one from Real Simple, Now What? Smart Fixes for Life's Little Disasters. And we have two little disasters. First, the honey is crystallized. Is it okay to eat? The fix? Honey naturally crystallizes over time, but that doesn't mean you need to toss your jar. Luckily, crystallization doesn't adversely affect the taste or quality of honey. In fact, says Zeke Freeman, founder of the honey company Bee Raw, partially or fully crystallized honey can have a richer taste. If you want to loosen up your honey, put the unsealed jar, plastic or glass, in a bath of warm, not boiling water for 5 to 10 minutes to help dissolve the crystals. Cold temperatures can make crystallization more likely, adds Freeman, so to avoid it, store your jar at room temperature. And the next disaster, my sneakers are smelly. The fix, if your shoes are machine washable, launder them in a warm water with a small amount of detergent and a cup of white vinegar, says Katie Berry, author of 30 Days to a Clean and Organized House and creator of the blog Housewife How To's. Don't add fabric softener as it could harm the shoe's moisture wicking of it abilities. After the wash, place the shoes in the sun to dry. Help prevent shoe odor by wearing athletic socks made from a blend of synthetic fabrics like Baliga Silver Antimicrobial Running Socks from $12.50 on Amazon.com. Those will help keep feet dry, says Katie Gates, owner of the Running Well stores in the Kansas City, Missouri area. Next from Family Circle, recycling. Recycling might feel like the most virtuous thing, but really it's the second most virtuous thing. The first would be buying and using less from the start. But we get it. You've got a life and a family to juggle, and trash happens. The good news is that almost everything can be reused or recycled in some way. Here's how to deal with getting all of it out the door and keeping it out of the landfill. Wash your recyclables. Rules vary from state to state, but the general principle is to rinse items with soap and water to remove any leftover food or drink. Do a little research on recycling in your area. Your town's website should list what they'll accept and how and where to dispose of it. What does single stream mean? Essentially, it means you'll have no excuse not to recycle, because as long as you can get it in the bin, be it newspaper, catalogs, beer cans, OJ cartons, aluminum foil, whatever, and out to the curb, everything will be sorted mechanically at the recycling facility. Think the last act of Toy Story 3. But the trade-off for its simplicity is that mechanized mass sorting tends to yield less recycled material. Curbside versus drop-off. Lots of communities have curbside recycling using those big blue bins. Generally, municipalities accept certain paper and plastics, aluminum and glass products. Some programs accept items in plastic bags, but ideally you should toss recyclables right in the bin, since plastic bags can jam the machinery at processing facilities. Drop-off programs, either privately or publicly funded, handle items not accepted at large facilities, such as plastic bags, scrap metal, and electronics. TerraCycle can recycle that. For items you're at a loss over, like power cords and coffee pods, order a zero-waste box from TerraCycle.com. All you have to do is pack up their box with your recyclable waste. Send it in and they'll do the rest. That's starting at $32. They even recycle cigarette butts and used chewing gum. Get the family involved. Sue Kaufman of TerraCycle recommends placing separate recycling bins in rooms where a certain type of waste accumulates, such as the kitchen for grocery bags, so you don't have to sort later. Your kids can also round up their old gaming equipment, phones, and electronics to be recycled, usually at a drop-off site that accepts electronics. The numbers game. On the bottom of every plastic container, from marinara jars to body lotion bottles to detergent jugs, there's a little number stamped inside a recycling triangle. This indicates the class of plastic and lets you know how it should be recycled. Most municipalities will recycle number 1 and 2 plastics, meaning things like soda bottles and peanut butter jars, which are number one, as well as milk jugs and shampoo bottles, which are number two. Head to earth911.com for the complete lowdown on how to recycle each kind of plastic. The most popular recyclables? Here are some tips. Did we mention washing them out first? Do that. First, aluminum cans, leave the tabs on and don't crush them, since intact cans are easier to sort. For plastic bottles and jugs, remove the caps. If you live somewhere that requires sorting of metals, plastics, and glass, metal lids go with the cans. For plastic bags and plastic wrap, most of these, including grocery bags, plastic mailers, and shrink wrap, can be dropped off in collection bins at supermarkets. Don't include them in your curbside bin. Newspapers, books, magazines, catalogs, envelopes. First, check your local library or Goodwill to take your books. If not, be sure to remove the covers and spines of hardcover books with a utility knife before putting them out. For cardboard, boxes with food stains, such as greasy pizza splotches, or water damage will not be accepted. Cut away the stained sections, but feel free to leave the tape. For paper, rather than shredding, which makes paper less recyclable, use black marker to cover sensitive info. Do your best to remove tape and staples. For glass bottles, remove metal caps and corks, and do your very best not to break any glass. From Better Homes and Gardens, breathe easy. Five ways to protect your lung health. 1. Pay attention to indoor air. Where you live and breathe every day counts as much as the air quality outside. It's important to keep pollution out and have good ventilation. Key sources of potential lung irritants include fireplaces, a dirty heating or cooling system filter, and a poorly ventilated range. Get your chimney checked yearly, clean and/or change filters, and keep appliances in good working order. You also need fully charged carbon monoxide detectors. This colorless, odorless gas can be deadly. Have your heating system serviced once a year. Gas furnaces can leak carbon monoxide. If you use a space heater, follow the directions scrupulously to prevent leaks. And 2, avoid secondhand smoke. Smoking is responsible for about 80% of lung cancer cases, says Otis W. Brawley, M.D., Bloomberg Distinguished Professor of Oncology and Epidemiology at Johns Hopkins University. But secondhand smoke is a big risk, too. Though the general rule is the more exposure, the greater the risk, there's no amount of secondhand smoke exposure that we can say is safe, Brawley says. 3. Eat for your lungs. As is true for many health issues, the less inflammation in your body, the lower your risk of respiratory problems and lung cancer. Help decrease inflammation by eating foods high in antioxidants, fiber, and healthy fats, including leafy green vegetables, nuts, fatty fish, and olive oil. 4. Check your home for radon. This odorless, colorless gas can seep into your house from the breakdown of radioactive minerals in soil and rocks and is the second leading cause of lung cancer. Everyone should test for radon, says Janice Nolan, National Assistant Vice President Policy for the American Lung Association. It's best to do it in December or January when the house is closed up so you get a read of how high levels can be. Some test kits work well. You can find one at epa.gov/radon. And 5, exercise. Over time, regular aerobic workouts can increase lung capacity 5 to 15%. In one study, people who were physically active for more than an hour at least twice a week scored significantly higher on breathing tests. The greater your lung capacity, the more air and oxygen your lungs can hold and deliver throughout your body. From Women's Day, depression and your heart. Science reveals a strong link between mood disorders and cardiovascular health. It's well established that having a heart attack or stroke puts people at risk for developing depression, but research now points to a heart-mood relationship that goes both ways. One study found people with depression had a 57% increased chance of heart attack or stroke. In terms of its effect on the heart, Depression may have almost as much of an impact as traditional risk factors like high blood pressure, says Jesse Stewart, Ph.D., professor of psychology at Indiana University of Indianapolis. Experts are still working to understand the relationship, but one major factor may be that people with depression often struggle to maintain healthy lifestyle habits like exercising, eating right, and taking prescribed medications on schedule, all of which have an effect on the heart. Inflammation, the immune system's response to everything from injury to stress, is another likely player. Depression can heighten inflammation in the body, and chronic inflammation may lead to hardening blood vessels and plaque buildup in arteries, which can trigger a heart attack or stroke. This expanding understanding of how the two are connected underscores the importance of taking action. Here's how, according to experts. First, be alert for symptoms. Depression is characterized by unshakable sadness, feelings of worthlessness, and a loss of interest in hobbies, work, or socializing. Loved ones may notice these changes before you do. You may also experience fatigue, anxiety, sleep trouble, either insomnia or oversleeping, and difficulty concentrating. Seek help. If you suspect you're suffering from depression, find a therapist. Asking friends for a good recommendation is a good place to start. Or talk to your primary care doctor, who may recommend medication and can give supportive tips and could know a therapist who could be a good fit. And last, be patient. Change doesn't happen overnight. It can take time, along with trial and error, to find the right treatment plan. Be open to evidence-based talk therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy and antidepressant medication, both of which can make all the difference. From Family Circle, three ways to prevent lice. When your daughter casually scratches her head, your hair trigger response is, "Does she have lice?" Alas, lice isn't something kids outgrow, especially since the primary means of transmitting the non-flying bloodsuckers is through head-to-head contact. And, well, surely you've witnessed three teenagers huddled over an iPhone. All it takes is one bug to start an outbreak, says Katie Shepard, founder and CEO of the Shepard Institute for Lice Solutions in Florida. Here are her three top tips for protecting your teen. 1. Comb once a week. Hopefully your kids already comb their hair regularly, but if there's a rumor of an outbreak in your neighborhood, use a lice comb once a week, Shepard says. Wipe the comb on a paper towel and look for little whitish husks and small reddish crawlers, and watch to see if any are falling out of the hair. Keep your hair pulled back, especially during an outbreak. Make sure your long-haired kid's locks are pulled up into a ponytail or bun, which reduces the chance of lice climbing on board. Thankfully, lice can't jump or fly, so keeping their hair away from other kids drastically reduces their odds of catching lice, Shepard says. And last, use mint. Mint is offensive to the bugs, but pleasing to us, Shepard says. Spritz a mint spray on your teen's locks or give them Peace Love Mint headbands, which are available at peacelovemint.com, $16 for three. They're infused with the essential oil and have been proven to reduce the risk of getting lice. And let's see what else I might have for you from Good Housekeeping. Shoe rack hacks. Get sorted with an inexpensive hanging shoe rack. Good Housekeeping's resident life hacker, Megan Murphy, shows you how. She's got several uses for a shoe rack. These are the hanging ones. Toy tamer. They will house everything from action figures to blocks within easy reach. As a beauty organizer, you can free up drawers by stashing hair products, hot tools, and accessories in those pockets. For a snack station, you can help hungry kids be more self-sufficient by stocking it with grab-and-go snacks. And as a winter gear saver, no more orphaned gloves. Placing hats, mittens, and other outdoor wear in a hanging rack keeps time from being spent hunting for pears. From Better Homes and Gardens, schedule your doctor appointment for first thing in the morning. Doctors tend to fall behind as the day goes on, so they may have less time to spend with patients during end-of-day appointments. That rush means some things might get missed. For example, a new survey shows that doctors are 16% less likely to refer a patient for a breast cancer screening at 5 p.m. than they are at 8 a.m. How about that? From Real Simple, we've got the staple. One tiny can of chopped green chilies can add big flavor to everything from eggs to salsa. Since they're made from wild Anaheim peppers that are already roasted, seeded, and peeled, they deliver a mellow kick at a moment's notice. Combine a can with melted butter and douse for a sturdy loaf for irresistible pull-apart bread. Fold them into cornmeal batter and fry up tender golden fritters. Or mash a can with egg yolk, mayo, and seasoning for a piquante take on deviled eggs. And I've got those three little recipes. First, cheesy chili pull-apart bread. Slice a crosshatch pattern at 1-inch intervals in a 1-pound loaf of crusty bread. Don't cut through the bottom. Melt one stick of butter with a 4.5-ounce can of chopped green chilies, drained, 4 chopped cloves of garlic, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Spoon in and around the cuts in the loaf. Press 8 ounces of shredded pepper jack into the openings. Fold, bake on a foil-lined sheet at 350 until the cheese melts, about 20 minutes. Then top with sliced scallions. For the chili corn fritters, whisk 1 1/4 cups each yellow cornmeal and all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons sugar, and 1.5 teaspoons each baking powder and kosher salt. Whisk in 1 cup buttermilk, 2 large eggs, and 2 tablespoons melted butter. Fold in 2 cups corn kernels, 2 4.5-ounce cans of chopped green chilies, which have been drained, and 1/4 cup sliced scallions. Fry spoonfuls of batter in 360 degrees of Fahrenheit canola oil, turning for 5 minutes. Drain on racks and season with kosher salt. And the last, green chili deviled eggs. Have 6 hard-boiled eggs. Place the yolks in a bowl with a 4.5-ounce can chopped green chilies, which have been drained, 1/4 cup mayonnaise, 1 tablespoon chopped cilantro, 2 teaspoons Dijon mustard, and 1/4 teaspoon each kosher salt and ground cumin. Mash until smooth. Spoon into the whites and top with cilantro. Then we have, from Better Homes and Gardens, Italian pressed sandwiches. Customize these sandwiches to your preference and with what's in your pantry. Keep wet ingredients to a minimum to avoid soggy sandwiches. Hands-on time, 10 minutes. Total time, 20. First, you need 1 ciabatta or focaccia loaf, approximately 1 pound, halved horizontally. 8 ounces thinly sliced salami, prosciutto, and or capicola. 1 6-ounce jar marinated artichoke hearts, well drained and chopped. 4-ounce thinly sliced provolone. 1/2 cup fresh basil leaves. 2 to 3 tablespoons purchased green or black olive tapenade. Layer cut side of loaf bottom with meat, artichoke hearts, provolone cheese, and basil. Spread cut side of loaf top with tapenade. Place on the bottom half. Wrap in heavy foil. To tote, store wrapped sandwiches in an insulated cooler until ready to grill. Place sandwich in foil on grill rack. Place a foil-covered brick on top to weight it down. Grill covered directly over medium heat, 10 to 15 minutes or until cheese is melted, turning once. This serves 8 to 10, and I've got a variation here next. Veggie press sandwiches. Layer cut side of the bottom loaf with thin lengthwise slices of zucchini, about 6 ounces. 1/2 cup of roasted red bell peppers, patted dry. 1/4 cup thin red onion wedges. Yes, and 8 ounces fresh mozzarella slices. Top with 1/4 cup purchased bruschetta topping. Spread cut side on the top of the loaf top with 2 to 3 tablespoons purchased basil pesto. Place on the bottom half. Wrap and grill as we just described previously. And in that same kind of note, we have from Women's Day, a healthy lunch, avocado tomato toast. Active time and total time are both 10 minutes. This serves one at a cost of $1.18 per serving. Toss half a scallion, finely chopped, with 2 teaspoons lemon juice and a pinch each of salt and pepper. Add a half of an avocado, which has been, and mash together. Toast 1 thin slice of whole grain bread. Spread the avocado mixture on top. Then halve or slice 1/4 cup of multi-covered cherry or grape tomatoes and arrange them on top of the avocado. Drizzle with a tiny bit of olive oil and sprinkle with cracked pepper. And voila, there is your sandwich, open-faced. And then from Real Simple, we've got an easy dinner, pear, prosciutto, and fontina quesadillas. Here's what you need. First of all, active time and total time are 20 minutes. 4 8-inch flour tortillas. 1 medium-sized firm pear, cored and thinly sliced, about 2 cups divided. 3 ounces thinly sliced prosciutto divided. 2 cups baby arugula, or about 2 ounces, divided. 6 ounces fontina cheese, grated, about 1 3/4 cups, divided. 3 1/2 tablespoons olive oil, divided. 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice from a lemon. 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. 1/4 teaspoon black pepper. And 5 ounces of mixed salad greens, or about 6 cups. Place 1 tortilla on a work surface. Layer 1/4 of the pear slices, 1/4 of the prosciutto, 1/2 cup of arugula, and 1/4 of the cheese over 1/2 the tortilla. Fold tortilla over the filling. Repeat to make remaining quesadillas. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in a large nonstick skillet over medium-high. Add 2 quesadillas to the skillet. Cook, flipping once, until tortillas are browned on both sides and cheese is melted, about 2 minutes per side. Remove from skillet. Repeat with 1 tablespoon oil and remaining quesadillas. Whisk lemon juice, salt, pepper, and remaining 1 1/2 tablespoons oil in a large bowl. Add greens and toss to coat. Serve immediately alongside the quesadillas. Next dinner, chicken parmesan meatballs, 20 minutes active and 40 minute total time, and this serves 4. We need 1 1/2 pound spaghetti squash, halved crosswise and seeded, 4 tablespoons olive oil divided, 3/4 tablespoon kosher salt divided, 1 teaspoon black pepper divided, 1 pound ground chicken, 1/2 cup Italian style breadcrumbs, 1/2 cup finely grated Parmesan cheese, or about 2 ounces, 1/4 cup chopped fresh flat leaf parsley, plus more for serving, 1 egg beaten, 3 cloves of garlic grated, 1 25-ounce jar marinara sauce, 1 ounce sliced provolone cheese, about 5 slices. Preheat oven to 400. Rub cut sides of squash with 1 tablespoon oil. Season with 1/4 teaspoon salt and 1/2 teaspoon pepper. Place cut sides down on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Bake until tender when pierced with a fork, 25 to 30 minutes. Let cool for 10 minutes. Scrape out the flesh with a fork, discarding the skin, creating spaghetti-like strands. While the squash bakes, mix chicken, breadcrumbs, Parmesan, parsley, egg, garlic, 2 tablespoons of the oil, and remaining 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper in a large bowl, and shape into 16 meatballs. Heat the remaining 1 tablespoon oil in a large oven-proof skillet over medium-high. Working in batches, cook the meatballs, turning once until browned, about 4 minutes total. Return all meatballs to the skillet. Pour marinara over the meatballs and bring to a simmer over medium-high. Top with provolone and transfer to the oven. Bake until a thermometer inserted in the middle of a meatball registers 165 degrees, and the cheese is melted and bubbly, about 10 minutes. Garnish with parsley and serve with spaghetti squash. Then we've got slow cooker Turkish style beef and eggplant stew. This is from Real Simple. Active time is 20 minutes. Total time in the slow cooker, 5 hours. And this serves 8. We need 1/3 cup of red wine vinegar, 3 tablespoons tomato paste, 1 tablespoon ground cumin, 1.5 teaspoons Aleppo style pepper or crushed red pepper, 1 tablespoon kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 3 pounds boneless beef chuck roast, trimmed and cut into 2-inch pieces, 3 small Italian eggplants, or 1 3/4 pound, sliced into 1/2-inch rounds, 3 medium-sized bell peppers, 1.5 pounds, seeded and sliced, 1 large yellow onion, chopped, cooked couscous, and fresh oregano leaves for serving. All right, here's for the slow cooker. Line a 6-quart slow cooker with a slow cooker liner if desired. Didn't even know those things existed. Combine vinegar, tomato paste, cumin, Aleppo, salt, the black pepper, and 3/4 cup water in the cooker. Add beef, eggplants, bell peppers, and onion. Stir to combine. Cover and cook until the meat is very tender. 6 to 7 hours on low, or 4.5 to 5 hours on high. Serve the stew over the couscous, garnished with oregano. And you can freeze it. You can let the stew cool to room temperature. Transfer to a sealable freezer-safe containers. Cover and freeze for up to 3 months. Thaw in the microwave or overnight in the refrigerator. From Family Circle, green beans almondine. This is a relatively easy one to do. It serves 6. Prep time is 15 minutes. Baking time is 5 and cook time is 5. We need 1/4 cup sliced almonds, 1 small shallot, thinly sliced, 1.5 tablespoons lemon juice, 1 tablespoon plus 1/8 teaspoon salt, 1 pound of green beans trimmed, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1/4 teaspoon ground black pepper, 2 tablespoons extra virgin of olive oil, or EVU. Heat your oven to 350. Spread almonds on a rimmed baking sheet and bake 4 to 5 minutes until lightly browned. Transfer to a small bowl to cool. Place shallot and lemon juice in a medium bowl. Fill a large bowl with ice and cold water. Meanwhile, in a medium pot, bring 8 cups water and 1 tablespoon salt to a boil. Add green beans and cook until bright green, 4 to 5 minutes. Drain the beans, transfer to ice water to stop cooking, then drain again and pat dry. Whisk mustard, 1/8 teaspoon salt, and the pepper into the shallot lemon mixture. Whisk in the EVU, add beans to the dressing and toss to coat. Transfer to a serving platter and top with toasted almonds. Well, we're about out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We certainly hope that you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website. That's www.ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. See you next time.